It's Thursday, May 17th, and the Milwaukee Bucks finally have their next head coach. The wait is over. We'll see what that means for the team as we look ahead. Also, do you feel better about the team with the deep playoff run the Celtics have had? And the Brewers have won 5 out of their first 7 on this 10-game West Coast trip. We'll see if they can keep it rolling this weekend against the Twins. We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tap in the Keg podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Mitch Ross MKE, and that's NoTapWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
Tap in the Keg podcast, episode 286. How are y'all doing? Might be 287. I never know. Just sort of guess. Fly
it's
in the wind.
Somewhere in there.
We'll get it started. Mitch, my sound sounds a little weird. I don't know if you noticed that. Just want to call that out.
Sounds a little weird.
Maybe not.
I don't know.
All right, well.
I got new headphones, so I can't really.
Oh, look at you.
I just newer headphones.
Big swinging dick in the Cracker Factory, Mitch Pratt, ladies and gentlemen.
$14. Yeah, Mitch Ross, thank you very much.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mitch Ross.
They were at $14 at Walgreens.
All right, well, that's fine. So, all right, let's, after.
As I saw a tweet earlier this week that it's only Midwestern if you. Someone compliments you on your new stuff and you say how much of a discount you got it at.
Oh, absolutely. That's exactly correct. And that is
pretty good.
It's an interesting way to start the podcast. So, Mitch, I'm sure you're doing well. It's a beautiful day. Bucks hired Mike Budenholzer.
Beautiful day. We got my
Brewers won 2 out of 3.
My choice. Brewers are rolling.
Yeah. It's good times, man. It's good times. We're happy to talk to you. Before we do, you know where to find us, NoTapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Facebook and Instagram both been popping off as of late, doing real well. So if you're not following already, what are you waiting for?
Popping off.
SnowTapWI, it is a website.
That fire hashtag content.
We're doing what we can. SnowTapWI, it is a website. Mitch Ross MKE on the Twitters. You can find him there.
Sir.
And then subscribe to all of our content on SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, whatever have you. So let's dive right in. Let's waste no time with the Mike Budenholzer hire. He is the Milwaukee Bucks new head coach. Last week when we did this podcast, we kind of went through the candidates. I think Budenholzer was a guy that Mitch and I both wanted, one of the probably our top candidate. And the Bucks made it happen. And
yep.
We worried, maybe were they going to screw this up? That was a big concern of yours. And then it seemed like once the news came out that the Raptors were sort of really circling the water with him, the Bucks sort of locked it down because it made it seem like this was going to be a longer process.
Yeah.
Like they were going to have a few finalists. And it seemed like the Bucks then said it was Budenholzer and Messina, and that was it.
Yeah. And I think that you're probably right. That probably helped them speed along. You know, everything. And I was worried a little bit there for
right,
a second.
Exactly.
That, like, you know, okay, now the Raptors, they fired Dwayne Casey, which, you know, you could argue is a good move for them. And then all of a sudden, all of a sudden it's like, okay, now the Raptors are in there. But still, I guess, you know, deep down or whatever, I guess not even deep down, I still knew the Bucks was probably a more enticing job than that.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, as I said to you guys in the group chat, I mean, Toronto, I think they peaked this year. You know, I don't think they're going to get better.
Right. You could make the argument that Toronto should explore deals that involve either Kyle Lowry or DeMar DeRozan. Like,
yeah.
if you could, Kyle Lowry, obviously a Philly guy, if you put Kyle Lowry on the Sixers and you get Dario Saric back and then you have a 1-2 combination of Saric and DeMar DeRozan, it's a pretty good, sizable unit. And
yeah.
Obviously, you need some other pieces around that. But that's just saying, but you're right. I don't know where – I think Budenholzer looked at Toronto and said, hey, I can either, like – I can maybe get a little bit more out of this team, but are we – like you just said, are we sure they'd be peaked?
Yeah.
I know with the Bucks that I have a long way to go. I know I can improve Giannis's shooting. They're bringing pretty much the entire Hawks staff. Ben Sullivan is probably going to be Giannis's personal coach. Sullivan was known for fixing mechanics for Ken Bazemore, who's spoken at great lengths about it. Darvin Ham's coming on board, who's been a tactic magician.
And he is also a very beloved figure in Milwaukee and, totally, and arguably the state of Wisconsin.
But he's been a great coach, and I think he'll get a head coaching job sooner rather than later, so he might not be here for very long. But he's the inventor of the hammer play, if you have seen that in the NBA annals.
Yeah.
So it's just the Bucks are bringing in like all the Hawks staff, and they're completely rehauling and retooling this coaching staff, which was much needed.
Yeah, and that's also was another part of this that I think Bucks fans were skeptical of or, you know, scared of, because, you know, some people thought, well, they get a new head coach, and what if ownership meddles and insists they keep, you know, a couple of coaches here and there. But it sounds like, you know, as he should, Budenholzer, we'll get that figured out. Sounds like he has full autonomy for his staff, as he should. I think he's proved enough. And, you know, and now the Bucks are going to go from one of the worst coaching staffs in the league to hopefully one of the best.
Right. And I think that, and we'll have this conversation when we do this podcast in October or November about how you shouldn't overreact early on, and that Bucks Twitter is going to really have to be leashed up. Like, they're going to have to be like a rabid dog that's just chained up in a corner for like a month. Because, yeah. And because you got to wait. You have to give it some time with a new coach.
Yeah.
And you can't just be like, okay, this is the same shit. And maybe it's refreshing, and it's going to be like the first time you had sex, and it's just going to be this amazing experience for days and days when you're just back to having consistent sex again. And just like, you're just like on a just amazing when they start out like 20-5, and it's like, oh, this, so no one even has that really problem.
Yeah. I mean, and I think obviously it's fair to be concerned that, like, you know, so much blame was put on the coaching staff.
Right.
And, you know, and I think for good reason. I think Jason Kidd's stench goes far beyond, you know, just the games.
Right.
And it's going to be tough to hopefully, it's going to be tough to kind of shake that. But I think Budenholzer is capable.
I think what you like about this coaching staff is they've developed young talent time in and time out. It's not just been a one success story. It's been multiple wings that have succeeded under them. So you look at guys like Sterling Brown, DJ Wilson, Thon Maker, you know, I think all of them have opportunities. I don't know if everyone will be there at the end, at the start of next year. I have a feeling a few of them will not be, just based off trades. And I think the Bucks want to make, you know, some move in the offseason.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens with Jabari.
Right. And so I guess that I can loop that in. So Budenholzer had breakfast with Giannis and Chris Middleton. Everyone's like, where do they have breakfast? Yeah. I'm sure they just had it at the facility. I know we all want to be like funny and be like, oh, they didn't have it at Bel Air. Let me tell the fucking joke on the internet.
Yeah.
Good job, guys.
Yeah, that's
get your game up, man.
That's Twitter.
Get your game up.
Yeah, no.
But anyways.
Do you think so at the facility?
Probably.
Beautiful day. I was thinking like Budenholzer came here and he was like, it's really fucking nice out here. I think I want to coach here.
So
the pick day of the year. You know, really.
So here's my question. Do you think that, do you make any big deal that Jabari wasn't at breakfast?
Because
it'll be a topic. So you think it's a big deal. Okay. I'm interested.
Well, I mean, it's just, you know, if, you know, he's a guy who's been marketed as a franchise cornerstone.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows? Maybe he was busy.
Right.
It probably was busy.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
But, and that is Jabari's personality, kind of does his own thing.
Sure.
So, but I think that, like, they flew Budenholzer to New York. I think that they could probably be like, hey, Jabari, you know, you want to drive back up to Milwaukee for the day? We're going to possibly meet with, the guy we're looking at to be your next head coach. Think he could do that? You know, but if they didn't do that, I don't know.
I think
maybe the relationship is frayed that bad.
I think I disagree with you here. I think that the idea of him being a restricted free agent is the fact that there may be a little bit more of a, and the, okay, so there's twofold.
There is two,
I have twofold here.
But they don't know if he'll be
They don't know if he'll be here is number one. Number two, I'm sure Budenholzer has been made aware of the rocky relationship that Jason Kidd and Jabari Parker had, to the point where Budenholzer may have said, hey, I just want to meet with Jabari one-on-one.
Okay.
Like, I just want to have a conversation with him. I just want to see where his head's at. I want to get to know the person before I make any judgment on if I think this guy should wants to be a part of this team. You know, I and really see what his headspace is.
This is a
at.
Very like psychological take here. I like this.
Absolutely.
Charlie. This is the type of stuff you get on this podcast.
Well, right. It's sometimes, and like I don't mean to sound like I'm better than people, but here's the thing. When you work in a corporate, when you work in a corporation, and I've worked in a few of them, you get that business sense, and you sometimes can take it away from just sports.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, some people are too dumb to do that. Not you, but the average person who's calling in, the people who are talking on the radio, they just don't know sometimes that corporate lifestyle. Yeah. It's kind of the same thing, and it does piss me off when people do this, when they say, oh, well, you don't know because you didn't play the game. Sometimes people just don't know because they don't deal with day-to-day business.
And I think it's valid because the Bucks owners are known to be billionaires, and they are business people. So I think it's fair to take some of your corporate experiences or whatever, and sort of apply it.
Yeah. Because
to this type of thing where it is like a new boss coming in.
Right. And I'm sure they were transparent with Budenholzer about the whole thing. And I maybe
I really hope that's the case though, that yes. Budenholzer was, big enough man or whatever you want to call it to be like, I want to meet with Jabari one-on-one and see what's going on. I don't want to hear what Middleton has to say. I don't want to hear what Giannis has to say about it off the record.
Right. And I'm sure
I want to just come in. See where he's at.
Yeah, and I'm sure he asked about all the different players at breakfast and said, here's what I think of these guys, or is that accurate? You never know. You don't know. Maybe they just shot the shit. Maybe they didn't even talk about players. Maybe it was just literally a meet and greet overall about different things. And so, that could be it.
Yeah.
And we'll see. And I don't think we should make a really big deal out of the Jabari thing because, I don't know, I reflect back, and I think I told this story like 3 weeks ago, when Victor Oladipo got traded to the Indiana Pacers, Nate McMillan looked at him and like same kind of situation I'm hoping happens with Budenholzer and said, we need you, we believe in you, we love you, like we're with you. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anyone had told Oladipo that. He bounced around. He went with a shitty Magic team. He was on a Thunder team that didn't use him the way they should have because right. Russ is a ball hog and one of the talk about a guy who just gets judged way differently than he should in the media.
He's
and
a terrible teammate.
With Twitter, he's the fucking worst. I've made a very sharp turn on Russell Westbrook. That another story for another time, but that's just me. So, anyways, I think that's nothing to worry about. I think the idea of it'll be interesting to see who he wants on the team because he didn't really vibe with Dennis Schroeder. Now, there was that rumor that Dennis Schroeder wanted to be a Buck.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool, but I already laid out on Snowtap WI why it's a website, why this does not make sense at all.
Yeah, and I didn't catch that, but I the contract's bad, and he's not really any better than Bledsoe.
Right.
And he's not significantly younger. I mean, Bledsoe's 28.
Yeah, he's a few years younger.
And Schroeder's going to be 25 here in like a month or something, or like before the season starts. So I mean, you're not getting 10 years younger, and you're not getting for the same production, perhaps worse production.
You could make the argument
plus a lot more money for a lot more years.
You could make the argument that you're basically getting a worse poor man defending German Eric Bledsoe because he there's not much that he does that is like anything plus, that Eric Bledsoe doesn't do.
The thing about Bledsoe is that he can score when he goes to the rim. He can score at will.
Right.
I don't know if Schroeder can do
that. No, he's not strong enough.
No.
So
Bledsoe is literally mini LeBron.
And so I think there was I'm pretty sure from what I've read that there was a falling out with Budenholzer and Schroeder that they didn't really vibe and they didn't really get along. Mm-hmm. So this isn't something where he's going to bring an MCW to the team, where he thinks that Schroeder can still be fixed. And to that point, I wonder how he feels about Eric Bledsoe. I wonder what he feels about a guy like John Henson, who I think doesn't give a shit half the time. Yeah. And it seems like Bud is sort of a hard nose. Like he's a teacher, but he's like Popovich, right?
Yeah.
Where he's like a player's coach, but you have to buy
in.
You
have to give him something.
And if you don't buy in, he wants nothing to do with you.
Well, I thought when we were driving in, I kept thinking like, well, Wait till Budenholzer wakes up tomorrow and he realizes John Henson is a starting center and he's got to do something about
it. I honestly think the hope would be that Thon Maker could assume that role, and he's just a terrible defensive rebounder that he probably can't, and that he's just not the rebound until he shows that he can defend. And who knows? Maybe John Horst thinks to himself, like, I could probably put Thon in a trade based off the playoff performance, like classic NCAA tournament, like you draft a guy high because of what he's done in the tournament.
Well, and to that point, there's Chris Middleton.
Right. And I would say,
like, if you want to get a bona fide asset, I mean, now would be the time.
The only player where Chris Middleton makes sense for is Kawhi Leonard. That is literally it. Well, I think that's kind of a right. I'm all in on that, but that is the only guy. Paul George, absolutely not. Way too close to Giannis. I don't think Paul George fits the mold. I just don't see how Paul George could fit. I don't know. If you could talk me into a Middleton Giannis Paul George, I mean, those are three wings. I just don't know.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, like, Paul George is probably a better shooter than Middleton, right?
Really sure Paul George is that good?
I mean, yeah, no, I mean, that's what I'm trying to say. I'm thinking, like, man, is Middleton, like, almost as good as Paul George?
Yeah, I think
like,
so.
I do. Are we there right now?
Yeah, I think we are. I think we can have that conversation.
After his unconsciousness in the, right. the first round?
Of guys rumored, would you trade Kemba for Chris Middleton? I probably wouldn't.
I wouldn't like that, no.
No. I absolutely not to Hassan Whiteside, who's been mentioned. Fuck. No way. Absolutely not.
That's a bad contract.
No, I agree.
I'd rather have Schroeder than Whiteside.
Ooh, interesting.
But that's then you have two drama queens on your team, right. probably, and the other being Bledsoe, unfortunately. Right.
I
don't know, Bledsoe's not a drama queen. He's just kind of in his own.
I know people like, for example, this would never happen, but people are like, oh, Anthony Davis is somehow involved in trade rumors. And yeah, of course, but that won't happen. I know people have made that like, oh, you think Anthony Davis is going to be on the move? I saw Jeff Goodman do that like 3 weeks ago. I was like, bro, really? Like,
right. The Pelicans just took the next step and yeah. like, they're going to trade Davis.
Exactly. They're going to bring Boogie back.
Like if they would have got swept, then it would have been like. Maybe. Well,
the Boogie thing's a really interesting like subplot of this whole thing.
Well, they have to
let
him walk.
I don't know.
Dude, if I mean
the Boogie thing is absolutely fascinating.
Oh, it's wild.
I am completely fascinated by it because I genuinely think he likes playing with Anthony Davis and I think Anthony Davis likes playing with him. Now the question is
like it just doesn't work.
But are we sure it does? Like, I don't know if we're sure it does.
That's the funny thing because they were good enough.
They were playing really good basketball with Boogie.
Yeah, they were.
Anthony Davis just wasn't the scorer that he showed himself to be down the stretch, and he realized at that point that he had to play the five. You could easily play Boogie at the four. Like that's not an issue.
They could probably because I think they both can shoot well enough.
Right.
That it's kind of doable.
And Boogie is an unrestricted, or is he restricted? No, he has
should
to
be unrestricted.
So he's unrestricted. So you don't know. I mean, he may decide he wants to just have his own team because Anthony Davis has taken this leap into a top five, top three NBA player.
Yeah.
And maybe that does. And Boogie's, I think, top 10. I think he's top 15 for sure.
Really?
I
know you do.
You and I are and different on Boogie.
That's obviously tough, you know, with. I don't know what word you want to use, but he missed half the season, so it's not fresh in my mind.
Oh, and he has an Achilles tear, too, which, right. I mean,
so he's gonna
how
miss,
does that affect?
He's going to miss probably into next season.
Oh, he'll be back because the NBA just ignores, like, HGH because Wes Matthews came back from an ACL tear or Achilles tear
Achilles,
in no
yeah.
time. No, NBA, when Robbie Cano gets busted and everybody gives a shit, nobody cares that these NBA guys heal just rapidly fast.
Yeah.
Especially
when they're 7 feet tall.
Some of them do. Not all of them. I mean, like Chris Middleton took his time. Jabari took his time.
Chucks is woke here on this.
A little bit. Just, yeah.
No, you're right. No,
so,
that's true. I mean, but, you know, to come back to the Bucks, I guess.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad you did that.
because we started talking about the Pelicans.
Oh, yeah, and, we're just flowing.
You know, I don't know. It is interesting to see what Budenholzer wants for a roster, what kind of moves the Bucks explore. I think Bledsoe's the most likely tradable guy just because he's an expiring.
Right.
And I think he does have some value, even though he was horseshit in the playoffs.
Right.
I still think he's Eric Bledsoe, and I still think that you can fool someone like the Bucks got fooled.
I think a bad team would take Eric Bledsoe.
Sure.
I think a bad team would say to themselves that if that's our next step into being a respectable team, then we'll take on Bledsoe, especially with the contract that he provides. If he explodes or something in the first half of the year.
Well, Atlanta would be really logical, actually.
Oh, I know.
But and Schroeder just doesn't.
No.
It's just that contract.
I don't think that's where they would go. I mean, you know, Brooklyn has some guys that are likable. I mean, Brooklyn probably not with D'Angelo Russell there. They don't probably need a point guard. I'm trying to think. It's hard to find like teams who need a point guard.
Like Orlando, maybe?
Yeah, but who would you? I guess Orlando would be a good one.
I mean, Orlando. DJ Augustine would be all right, but he's got a pretty bad contract.
Orlando would be a good one because we've talked about it. I mean, if you could get
plus our old buddies there,
could get Nikola Vucevic and Hezonja, Terrence Ross is another. He hurt himself, but
problem with Hezonja is he's restricted.
Okay, so. But like I'm just listing off guys who fit. Like Terrence Ross is a shooter that. Killed the Bucks. I mean, that'd be like a Jeff Suppan deal.
I would love Terrence Ross.
Terrence Ross. Much.
He was hurt all last year, I think.
He had a bad knee injury.
But he's still a good player.
He's the guy the Bucks need. He's a corner three-point specialist.
Yeah, and he'd be off the bench.
He plays good defense.
I would look hard at Bledsoe for Vucevic.
Yeah.
I just don't know if Orlando does it.
It depends. I think it also will depend on who Orlando drafts.
Because I think Vucevic is expiring next year, too.
Yep.
Finally.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad deal. So, I think that's the start.
Trash for trash,
maybe. I'm sure Consultant Murph is going to have like 80 trades off this podcast.
By the time we go to bed tonight?
Yeah, by the time we go to bed, we'll get like a Google spreadsheet of all these different trades.
Oh, yeah.
That's his brand.
Yeah.
So anything else on Bud before I move on to the other Bucks topic I want to touch on briefly?
Not really, no. Just glad to have it over with.
And absolutely.
I know last week I said if we were sitting here last week without a coach, I'd be nervous. Now, granted, if this wouldn't have been officially hired, I would have pulled the old. Well, they've made significant progress.
It would have been like we're at the doorstep. We're at the goal line.
We're in the red zone for sure.
I had even said the breakfast thing was indication of it was about to happen.
Yeah.
So
I would have been okay too, but it's official and I'm glad it's over with, and now we can look ahead.
Right, get ready for the draft and
hired him a full month before the draft.
What mediocre player we're going to draft with the 17th pick?
God damn it!
I kid, but like I looked at one mock draft today for Daily Tap, and I saw him taking some 6'7" kid out of Oregon who I don't know about.
I'll tell you who I want if we keep 17.
Yeah,
Kyrie Thomas.
And that's who was going 18 to the Spurs, and
it seems like every year I find a guy that's like
Kyrie Thomas is a very good player.
Say the Bucks have. Pick a number, 15th pick.
Yeah.
Because we're usually right around that.
Yeah.
A terrible pick. And there's a guy that's like being mocked for the longest time at like 18, 19, 20, you know, 3-4 picks down the line. And all of a sudden he goes 11 or 12.
Who was that last year? Is it Bam?
I feel like it might have been, Bam. Bam would have been a good example. But I do remember in the Giannis draft, I wanted Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. That was the guy I wanted.
Yeah.
And he was like 20, 21. The Pistons took him at fucking 7 or 8 or whatever it was, and the Bucks had 15 or whatever.
How about the gall of the Pistons, real quick, not to completely sidetrack us, but the gall of the Pistons to bring out Luke Kennard at the draft lottery to remind fans that we took this cream cheese motherfucker over Donovan Mitchell?
Dude, that draft lottery was garbage.
I heard it was just really bad. I didn't watch it.
It's so cringy.
I was,
like, I think I saw somebody pointed out that it was worse than the selection show.
Oh, jeez. That's bad. That's really bad.
It was because, like, I don't know. It just, they forced this, like, awkward, they try to get these awkward comments out of guys, and it's just like, we suck. Like, you know, what can you ask us?
What do you want me to say?
Our teams are all irrelevant except for tonight.
What do you want me to say? We're garbage. Yeah. We're garbage. I don't want to talk. I'm not here to talk. I'm here to do some lottery picks and whatever. So anyways.
The draft. I'm not too excited for the draft. I think it's just the fact that we've taken some bad players the last 3 years.
Maybe it's that, but I'm excited for the debate between Luka and DeAndre Ayton. And the fact that King, if like, I feel like if.
Dude, I think they should take Doncic.
I do too. Well, hold on. So I said this on Daily Tap. Of course they're going to take Doncic.
Yeah.
Because look who's in their front office. Vlade, Peja. You really think they're going to let an Eastern
Europe? I meant number one, Phoenix.
Oh, Phoenix?
Yeah.
Okay. Glad you brought that up. Because if they do, I have no idea what the Kings will do.
Yeah.
Because the Kings, I guarantee you, they all want Luka.
Yeah.
They want Luka so bad, I'm sure.
See, but Phoenix is tough because I think they should take him because the new head coach is his national coach.
And he was his coach.
And the kid's pretty good.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, you know what I was thinking about too the other day is like they tell me the modern center, the center in the NBA is dying, right?
Mm-hmm.
How come all these top prospects are centers?
Yeah, I don't know.
Isn't that weird?
They're athletic as hell. I mean,
right.
I mean, the thing about it is like Bagley and Ayton's the full package. Like Ayton's like Dwight Howard with athleticism.
Yeah.
Bagley has a little more.
Bagley's like a 05 power forward, right?
Yeah,
like
a little bit.
Like a 6'10", yeah, 6'11". Kind of a
Jabari.
Lanky.
He's a lankier Jabari, I would say. He has like a very good offensive skill set.
Yeah.
Decent defender. And then a guy like Jaren Jackson is an amazing defender out the gate, but is very raw offensively.
Yeah.
So, but you could deal with that because you're like, okay, we can get this guy out there and get him comfortable, get him acclimated. And the offense is going to come, and we can be patient, especially a team like the Orlando or somebody like that who just knows it's not going to be instantaneous.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'd take any of those guys.
It's interesting. The only last Bucks thing, because I know we're running long and we have Brewers and things like that. I just wanted to say that I think the Boston Celtics should be thanking the Milwaukee Bucks for how good they're playing. Because I feel like just the Giannis experience really helped Brad Stevens figure out how to play LeBron, how to basically say, LeBron, you go do everything, and then we're just going to cut off everything else.
Yeah.
And I've been impressed. I think the Celtics are just a wagon right now, and I've said that a few times. They're a really good team.
Yeah. But, we'll see when it goes back to the queue in Cleveland.
All right.
I mean, Cleveland wins two at home. It's a new series again, but we'll have to see. I mean,
right.
I don't know. This feels like, you know, LeBron's on his way out, kind of.
And the last thing I want to deal with, last thing that Boston wants to deal with is 2-2 with Bron, because that's just terrifying for no matter who it is. So.
For sure. I mean, I would be, man, I'd be scared.
If I
still would be scared if I'm Boston.
Oh, it's absolutely.
Until we get four wins and there's 0.00 on that shot clock.
Right.
I'm even double checking.
Right.
To make sure
and
that
that's
LeBron
funny you say that
because
like that was basically Big Cat's point on Part of My Take today. He's like, it's like Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, even though the Packers were eliminated, I still thought Aaron Rodgers could have a chance to somehow make a way into
the
playoffs.
He was waking up with cold sweats.
Right. And we'll see what happens with the Rockets Warriors. Rockets are actually up 38-26, 8 minutes left to go in the second quarter. So maybe they make it a series. Maybe that we overreacted from game one. Not that we've ever overreacted from a game one, and it's not indicative of the series. That never happens.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Not tapping the keg, not any podcast, not Twitter, nothing.
Not any conversation.
And none of us maybe had a podcast like 2 weeks ago and asked are we sure the Brewers are good? No one did that. No one did that. I don't know who did that, but somebody did that. It wasn't me.
Was it me?
No, it wasn't me. So, yeah, I think that I've already went over.
Are we sure they're good, man?
I don't remember that.
But
listen, they lost 2 out of 3 to Pittsburgh.
We were pissed off.
It was like, are we sure? Like, I did a Daily Tap that Monday. Like, I just don't know anymore. I just don't know because they keep beating just shit teams and they don't do well against these high level teams. And they then go beat the Indians 1 of 2. And then now they've won, I believe it's like
five out of seven,
7 out of their last 10. They're rolling right now. They're their first NL team to 26 wins. Atlanta, if they beat Chicago tonight, can also get to 26 wins. They're at the top of the NL Central. They're 5-2 on this West Coast road trip. Even if they just get one in Minnesota, while that'd be disappointing because the Twins aren't really playing great baseball.
It's still house money.
Kind of. And yeah. we talk about it. It's a podcast theme, but it's house money. And the reason it's a theme, for those who don't listen all the time, because we do want to bring realism to fans. We don't want you to always like overreact when things don't go the way it's supposed to.
Yeah.
So shit's not going right, as a guy, as the famous Bruce Boudreaux quote says, like sometimes things aren't going to go well.
Right.
And sometimes you have to realize that just because something didn't go well doesn't mean it's the end of the world.
Yeah. The Brewers are 26-17.
26-18.
And first NL team, but you wouldn't know it because, you know, nationally the bigger story
is the Yankees Red Sox.
And how bad the Dodgers are.
Right. It's, well, like someone pointed out, so the Sunday night game this week is the Indians versus the Astros. And the topic is what AL team can compete with the Indians and Astros in the postseason? Oh, I don't know. The Red Sox and the Yankees.
they'll do whatever they can to talk about them.
I will say this. The fact that the Red Sox and Yankees are two of the best teams and that it looked like the rivalry is sort of back, I guess. It's good. That's good for baseball. Yeah. It's annoying for us, the small market fans, but it's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's good. It's well, just that's
like the Yankees being good is like everything's right in the world.
I totally agree. Like, and that they're hateable.
We can all hate the Yankees.
They are a hateable bunch. I don't mind Aaron Judge.
That's the thing is that they do have likable players.
Oh, it's Cubs. It was the Cubs
just the
paradox.
Just the fucking arrogance from that organization is just sickening.
Well, right.
And then you get people on Twitter that point out how good of a GM Brian Cashman is.
I don't
even know. An animal could probably be the GM of a team in a sport without a salary cap. That has infinite resources.
I will say he did a good job of getting, you know, actual prospects and through. And
yeah,
but
true.
But I mean, like a guy, he made sure Gabriel Torres
they got
was
fucking
in.
Bailed out too on that.
Yeah,
who they traded for?
Chapman.
They traded Chapman to the Cubs, right?
Right. Yeah, they got Torres. They got Clint Frazier from the Indians for Andrew Miller. Who Clint Frazier?
Well, see, but there
been...
again, it's bullshit because they can. They can just sign whatever free agent you want for a 1-year deal
and they'll
then turn around and flip them at the deadline.
Yeah, and they'll make deals this offseason for guys who they got prospects.
I mean,
wise.
Do they even show up to the draft?
I don't know. Yeah, bro. I don't know.
It's a legitimate question, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. No, who the hell knows? But yeah, so the Brewers are well and
this is all despite a rash of injuries. Like,
yeah.
Dude, everyone is just...
I think it's just there's a...
No major injuries, but just everyone is just...
There's a next man up culture in that locker room. I think it's developed. It started from day one when they won in the 11th inning, and then when Ryan Braun hits a game-winning 3-run homer and a 5-run ninth, it's been a next man up of, I know I have to be the man at this point.
Never say die.
Never say die. Yeah, the never say die thing.
Every cliche.
Oh, yeah, but the never say die thing,
gritty.
Though... So, Bill Schmid today pointed out that on the postgame show that 7 of the 26 wins for the Brewers have been last at bat.
Yeah.
So that if you do the math,
I think
that,
those were all in the first 10 games.
No, they've had a couple. The Colorado game on Friday night. I mean, that was wild because we were out that night for my girlfriend's birthday, and I look over at you at the bar when it's 9-3 in the fourth, and I said to you, I go, Mel Mitch. We got some time, and we just kind of kept saying it, like, yeah.
And like that Pena home run, that thing had no chance.
Oh, no.
And I was just like, get out of here. And it sure enough went over the I was like, get out.
That would not have went out in any other stadium.
No,
that would have been a fly ball, game over, see you later. We'll talk to you tomorrow sort of thing because, it was an incredible comeback. And I think the nice thing about that Arizona series is they did it in different ways. Like a couple late runs on Monday night, could have easily won Tuesday and just
Monday was a good game.
Yeah.
Monday was a tremendous game.
Monday was a great game. They added on
Wednesday might have been better, but Monday was, I mean, just a nice win. You
but know? The thing about Wednesday is they took advantage of a pitcher who isn't good. Like Matt Cook had some really bad underlying numbers. Now he had pitched okay in his first three starts, but it was clear that you could jump all over this guy, especially left-handers. And what happened? Travis Shaw had a home run. Yelich had a home run. Domingo had a blast. Domingo played a great game today.
Back-to-back homers in the first.
Right.
Made it 3-0. Now, granted, Brandon Woodruff gave up one. But he settled down.
But that was his only hit allowed. He walked four, but so... Yeah. And now we'll get to, we haven't even touched on young Freddy Peralta, who liked Snowtap WI's Instagram. Not a big deal.
Nice.
But yeah, so Freddy pitches on Saturday.
We got from Adam Lind, for Adam Lind back in 2015.
God bless you.
Before the 2015 season.
God bless the Mariners organization.
They gave us three young right-handed pitchers that were low-level prospects. And
basically the hope was that one may pan out.
I feel like if Freddy Peralta does nothing else, it's like, that's already kind of a decent trade for us.
Right. And Jeff Sullivan wrote a great piece on FanGraphs. I think it's Jeff. Go read it. Basically saying that all Peralta was doing was throwing his fastball. Yeah. But he was putting movement all over the place on his fastball. So it was basically unhittable because the way he was hiding the pitch, it was something that he had never seen
before.
Well,
that's how Hader gets guys out, too, I think. The type of release he has, it disguises the ball and boom, it's on you.
Sullivan basically said that he thinks that Peralta could be the last year's version of Josh Hader, or this year's version of Josh Hader, in a sense, because Hader threw a lot of fastballs last year, like a lot of fastballs.
Yeah.
And so maybe teams will figure it out, but Christian Yelich said, even watching it from center field, that he didn't really know where the ball was going. Yeah. Like, he had no idea it was moving this way. The Twins is a nice second start for Freddie. I mean,
yeah.
Target Field's a good hitting ballpark, but no Miguel Sano. He's on the DL. You do have to deal with some power with Dozier, who's not been that great, and Eddie Rosario, and Escobar is having a good year. So they have some guys.
Well, you'd like to think that the nerves are gone now.
Right.
And he can, and if he did that in his first start, you'd like to think he can do, you know, I'm not going to expect 14 strikeouts You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just a solid start again.
Right. If he gives up two runs and strikes out six and goes six innings, that's fine.
Because, again, we're lucky he's still on the team right now.
You were such a cocksucker. Being like,
I can't wait till he gets sent down after the game.
I saw that, and I was just like, God, I hate you.
Just preparing the masses.
I hate you so much. Well, they have a real decision because it's like, what do you do?
This organization does this shit every time where it's like, look at Woodruff. Up and down, up and down, up and down. Tyler Thornburg, up and down. Is he reliever? Rotation, you know, it's like.
That was a few years ago.
I know. But granted, sometimes there's not much you can do. But just, I would ride out Peralta.
Yeah, I think.
As long as you can.
I think your rotation looks like this. I think if Zach Davies will be back next week, maybe. They don't know. I mean, that's kind of an underlying thing. If Zach Davies is legit hurt with that shoulder injury, that's a real problem. Really a problem. The Brewers can get by right now, but that's an issue.
Well, then you have to trade for a starter.
Absolutely. 100%.
Well, but then we're getting Jimmy Nelson back.
So right now, if Davies is healthy, it's Davies, it's Chacin. Jules kind of sneaky right now. Jules had a really good outing. And Derek Johnson may be a wizard.
Fuck. He's as good as advertised, I would say.
Chase Anderson.
Let's get David Price. Let's buy low on David Price.
No, I'm not dealing with that contract. You were just worried about Schroeder's contract. Now you want to take David Price's contract?
I'll play Fortnite with David Price all night.
And then Peralta. And then who's your fifth? Is it Suter? Is it Woodruff? Who am I missing?
I mean, you know how I feel about Suter.
Yeah. I think Suter's better in the bullpen, actually, as a long guy.
Yeah.
I think he works better. So Anderson, Davies, Guerra, Peralta.
Chacin.
All right. That's it. So Woodruff goes down, and that's fine.
Then I guess Peralta goes down when Nelson comes back?
I think that's a conversation.
Cy Young on our hands.
Unless he's a Rookie of the Year candidate, and then you say, well, you come to a really tough decision about Junior Guerra. I mean, Junior Guerra is just pitching. I don't think you can't say he's pitching well. You can't say he's not pitching.
Well, his problem is he has like the one bad inning type of thing.
Yeah.
Where, I watched every pitch of that game Monday night, and it was like first couple innings, he's dotting right. The corners, just doing whatever. And all of a sudden, the fourth inning, walks a guy, double down the line, like another walk, and it's just like, you were just fine. Like, I don't understand how all of a sudden.
Yeah, it just goes to shit.
Just mechanics slip up a little bit. And
right.
You're leaving balls out and middle, and whatever, what other cliches the hitters use. I love hearing that stuff in baseball dugout.
Yeah. So going back to your injury notion, Ryan Braun's probably headed to the DL Friday, looks like. And
it's
probably
be a sad day.
Yeah, I mean, it's
I think this is like the beginning of the end.
Oh yeah.
Stinks too.
There is that. I've already said my piece about what Seth Everett mentioned on the Fan this week about that Ryan Braun's going to get bought out. I think that's a ridiculous take for anyone, including Seth. So just whatever. But anyways, Ryan, I think going on the DL is fine, and I actually think it's a good thing because it allows Council a little more space. It seems like Domingo Santana's warming up. It's not necessarily like he's not like necessarily every game, but
well, and Jesse Aguilar has been great too.
Yeah, yeah, Aguilar has been fantastic. I think he's kind of become a mainstay at first base, and you look like you have a set roster right now with what you have right there. And Aguilar,
I mean, how do you feel? This is a constant take,
sure,
or constant topic for that'll get you kill. You can kill a segment at sports radio at any point.
Take your calls, dial in.
What do you do with like? What do you like? What role do you like Aguilar in? I mean, I'm still in that camp. Like, if he's hot, ride him out for a month. But I just don't know if he's an everyday stud first baseman.
I 100% agree with you. I can't get my head around. I think he does enough, but I just don't think he's good enough against right-handers to really make that case. Like, it seems like there are certain right-handers who really plague him, and then some left-handers who give him trouble. But he can take advantage of bad pitchers. That's I think he's a really good. You know, or and a guy.
He's not an aggressive hitter in terms of like he's not over aggressive.
No.
Which is surprising.
Right.
I just feel like he's just, you know, you'd probably think that he'd be a Domingo who loves that low away slider.
No.
You know, but he's patient. He's a very good hitter.
He's a patient. He does enough.
He's a professional hitter. And if he's your first pinch hitter every game, like in a playoff game.
Right.
That's all you can ask for.
How about the Brewers bring up J-Man Choi? I would actually really love that. If they, out of the, who they call up for Braun, I would love it to be J-Man, especially with the DH this weekend.
Phillips is due to come back up.
Why not J-Man for the DH role? Just bring him up this weekend to DH.
Well, maybe. Yeah. Something to look at. But Phillips, I think, has been down for about 10 days.
Also, is Tyler Saladino the new Eric Sogard?
Yeah.
Is Tyler Saladino Italian for Eric Sogard?
That'd be great. I mean,
he has a good mustache.
You need that guy, you know? I mean, you need that guy, and every team has that gritty guy, you know?
Right.
Like that guy who just everything seems to fall his way.
He can play shortstop too. Like
I didn't know that.
He can play a legit shortstop. Like, and if you have him and Orlando Arcia as your middle infield, that's a good defensive. I don't know if you're going to get the offensive production.
Or you have Jonathan Villar too.
Well,
that's
free Jonathan VR.
Almost another podcast.
Jonathan VR has been freed. I'd like to say yet another double down the right field line today as a right-handed hitter.
Had a monster game Monday.
I think Johnny. This was a double middle finger week to Craig. Like, okay, fine. Whatever's going on with Craig and John, I think it's figured it itself out.
Yeah,
because
I hope.
Yeah, I do too. Because at this point, it's a little ridiculous. And if I was VR, I'd be like, well, just trade me that.
I wonder if like. They're like grooming him to be a backup infielder or something.
I think there's a legit beef between Council and him, and I don't know what it is. And I'd love for someone to figure it out because I know it's there. I just don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Like you never know. It could be just that Council just got fed up with the mistakes and really just sort of put him on timeout and wanted him to earn his spot
back. Too bad this wasn't New York, right?
Oh yeah, exactly. Because if it was New York, you know, Francesa would do. Like 2 hours and mispronounce his name the entire time. Taking your calls, Jonathan Villa. Jonathan Villa.
I'm just saying, like
what's the matter with Council? What is he doing?
The actual beat writers and boots on the ground.
Yeah.
Guys would probably be more.
Oh yeah.
They'd push that a little more.
Oh yeah. They wouldn't be like all due respect to Tommy H, but they would not just sort of lob in softballs to Craig. So, you know, it's how it is. That's how it works in the Big J world.
Then again, I don't really care.
No, I don't either. I'm not going to get myself wrapped up in the media.
Right.
Certain takes I'll get wrapped up in. You write takes about the Bucks not being ready for a female coach, then yeah, maybe I'll have some comments, but that was bad. Yeah, that was.
I didn't even bother reading it just because I don't think I wanted to.
I mean, you got the screenshots. You got the gist of it.
Right. I mean, obviously, it was just, you know.
I mean,
not.
And see, that's something you
should. Not 2018.
That's something you should get outraged on the internet. And then when I see my guys at Barstool taking heat for a guy who took pictures of himself at the gym and are like, man, this is what keeps people away from the gym. Guess what? If you're a motherfucker taking pictures of yourself at the gym, you're an asshole.
I agree.
Should you be and even if you're like, hey, I'm getting in shape, look at me. I don't give one fuck, dude. Mm-hmm. Use your phone for the one thing it's good for. Listening to music. That's right. It. Or a podcast. Do not take pictures of yourself.
Taking pictures of yourself is probably worse than looking in the mirror.
Yes. Absolutely.
Everyone does that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's hard not to, but you know what I mean? Like the distinguished, like, extra look.
Oh,
you know?
My favorite is the guys, and I have to do like a gym etiquette podcast, but the guys who like will get mad at you if you walk in front of their line.
Yeah.
Like, and sometimes I do it intentionally because I had this fuckboy.
Like in front of their mirror?
Yeah. I had this fuckboy who stole my weights and didn't ask me. We were the only two people in the gym on Sunday, just took my weights when I was like doing it. And I'm like, you could have just asked. I would have said, yeah, go ahead, take them. But he didn't. And then I just was a dick to him because, and I lifted more weight because that's the hardo I am. Like, that's it.
Not now, Chief. I'm in the fucking zone.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. You had the the finale music going. And
I had to.
You had to. I mean, I get it. I get it. It's fine. I would have done the same. But yeah, no, it's just like there's certain things to be outraged about, and there's other things where just let's just save our outrage cannons for things that actually matter and not worry about dumb shit. So we'll leave you with that. Mitch and I will be back next week. We will talk Memorial Day weekend. I may or may not put out a Memorial Day playlist. We'll see. Talk maybe a little song of the summer. That's usually an annual tradition for the right around the Memorial Day time frame.
Song of
so
the summer.
Get your summer songs in, Mitchell.
But we'll have to think about
We'll also look at what the Brewers do at the rest of this road trip. And who knows what else will come about. It is getting into that lean month of where there's not much to talk about. But we will find it because that's what we do here on Tapping the Keg. Back for Daily Tap tomorrow. Mitch Ross, MKE on Twitter. SnowTapWI on all the socials. We'll see you guys there. Take care and have a good Thursday. Later.
Peace.